Welcome to Empowered From Within, a special series under Unapologetically Hers 2024-2025 Participatory Action Research Leadership Program. I'm your host, Precious Johnson, and I bring both experience and commitment to this critical conversation. This series is based on research conducted by incarcerated community researchers at Central California Women's Facility, exploring peer perspectives on job readiness and accessing current prison programs. Their findings highlight both the barriers to reentry and opportunities for change. Over 10 episodes, you'll hear firsthand from those currently incarcerated and those who have successfully reentered society. We'll examine challenges in job readiness programs, discuss access and equity in prison education, and explore ways to create real systematic change. Join us as we amplify these voices and push for meaningful action. Let's dive in. I'm joined by community researcher Nora Igova, whose work capturing peer voices has revealed both the urgent needs and potential opportunities for modernizing technology training inside CCWF. Before we dive into our core topics, Nora, can you share a little bit about yourself and your role as a community researcher at CCWF?
Hi, my name is Nora Igova, and I have been incarcerated in CCW for the past 17 years. And I've been seeing a lot of changes throughout my stay in CCWF with administration, with the programs, so with incarcerated individuals. However, one of the changes that I was lacking, but we've seen that change, was the technology trainings. That is a huge component in life for just to live day by day, and that's really lacking in here. The role as a community researcher for me at CCWF is to basically identify the key barriers and the different opportunities for my peer to successfully reenter the workforce once they parole. And to be honest with you, what inspired me to focus on technology training and do the research on that is hearing my peers share their fears regarding basic digital literacy. They just don't know. And how they feel inadequate at all times to even turn on a computer or simply send a message with their tablets to a loved one. I truly connect to those challenges my peers face and how their success heavily relies on technology, from adapting to modern digital world to securing unemployment once they're released.
Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so honored to be a part of this conversation with you today. What technology skills do you think are most important for individuals there to learn, and why?
First of all, I truly believe the basic digital literacy is like the fundamental technology training that we all need in here. And the purpose for that is just to help my peers navigate basic technology tools they'll encounter in everyday life, such as getting on the computer, using their phone, typing and keyboarding skills, basic internet navigation, send an email to a loved one, or to how to apply for a job, search engines, how to navigate social media. We hear how huge social media is, but we don't know like what that looks like. Also, online etiquette and understanding like the privacy settings and cybersecurity. Just managing online presence responsibly, general.
It sounds like folks inside really need just the basics of technology literacy. Thank you for sharing that. Can you share an example from your interviews that illustrates this need?
Yeah. Like after talking to an LWAP from my community who has been incarcerated for 20 years, I found that she feels inadequate with new technology. And in order for her to have a chance in the world, major catching up like would be absolutely necessary. Another example would be one of my peers, after being incarcerated for almost 3 decades, now mentioned that she still uses her typewriter. Like most of the new generation haven't even seen what a typewriter looks like. And she still has not had a chance to get behind a computer at all.
That sounds like a real barrier and a real challenge for folks inside.
Can you give me another example as to why she has not gotten behind a computer and she's still using a typewriter?
She hasn't been able to get behind a computer because of just the availability of the program. There is no laptop available. There is no program to where she could be enrolled in for her to learn those skills. We only have one program that is called Computer Related Technology that is kind of, you know, it changed over time from office services to computer related technology. And it's so outdated and the waiting list is like ridiculous. Like everybody tried to get into that program to get those skills. However, you know, it takes a long time. You need to probably catch like another term to get trained.
And just another follow-up question. Why is it taking so long for folks to get into those type of programs?
It takes really long. First, because we have a large population. Our population, it's around the 2,000s. It's only one program that serves that population. It takes a really long time for you to be first placed on the waiting list, second to even come up on the waiting list all the way to the top. It's just the length of the program itself. People get enrolled in there and then they become stagnant because of, let's say, the instructor doesn't show up for a couple weeks in a row. Let's say we go into a full modified program. So it interrupts the flow of learning those skills. Therefore, because you need certain hours to complete the programs and complete certain modules and extend the time of your completion. So it pushes everybody back down. One of my peers even mentioned, she said that like her hair will like turn white by the time she sees that assignment again, which was, it's true. And no instructors available at the same time that are willing to, unless they're people that live locally. And you know, like we are placed in the Central Valley. It's not a very popular place. So the instructors have to travel from possibly far out of town. And there is no certifications that are available for those programs either.
Thank you for sharing that. Were there any comments about a particular course or tool that could bridge the gap between current resources and job market needs?
The comments from my community regarding courses and tools that were needed were, like I briefly mentioned earlier, the basic digital literacy, office productivity tools, job search tools, trades and vocational training such as 3D printing, CAD software, HVAC system controls and diagnostics, financial and personal management tools, social media and online etiquette, and entrepreneur training.
Sounds like the lack of basic digital skills, like using email, Microsoft Office, Zoom, web design, is just like a major barrier. And I hope that I heard you correctly. Let's now talk about what types of technology training programs peers wish were available. Have you participated in any technology training programs there? And how did that help you?
Well, the only technology training program that I participated in was back in 2012. And it was called back then Office Services. And it was a long program. Like, I believe it was up to maybe close to a year, depending on like how often we're able to go to the lab and utilize the computers. And I remember back then the technology was outdated. However, we're still using the same technology. It helped me when I took that course back then, because it gave me the fundamental clerical skills for how to type, how to use the keyboard, a simple command. So it was really helpful when we had that.
Do you think that those skills are helping you now in your current role? And if not, what are some challenges that you're facing now?
So those skills will help, certainly. But the challenges The challenges are many. Like, it's again, we need more programs. The basic is that we don't have. That's the thing. We don't have the technology training and vocational training programs that are geared towards the today's world, right? And what it is that when we do have, like, when we have like that only one that we do, the computer and native technology, and everybody wants to be part of it, and there's just not enough time for some to complete it, not enough resources, not enough instructors. It's just many challenges. At the same time, also, if you are assigned to a particular job assignment, it's really going to, even when your time comes up for you to be involved, they might bump you out because of the job that you assigned to. If you are, let's say, in PIA optical or any of the PIA jobs, that training is not going to be available for you because they want to keep you as a production worker in certain places. Therefore, that's a challenge. You don't get the training because you're assigned elsewhere. So it's just kind of, you cannot maneuver around it.
Sounds like not only having the course available, but when it does become available, your job kind of takes precedence over you being able to learn those skills. Is there any particular insights or quotes from your interviews that talks about these challenges of not being able to get into the class once their name came up?
One of the examples of someone being assigned to a position and not able to utilize the computer-related technology class was one of my peers that she goes home in 2 years, and she's a low custody incarcerated individual. She's a level one. So she shared her fears of not being ready for the free world, and she is waiting to be enrolled. However, she's placed in a position because of her low-level security. She's positioned outside of the prison to work like in perimeters. She works in greens. So she is automatically placed as a need, institutional need. Therefore, the institutional needs you for a certain job that would prevent you from you being enrolled into computer-related technology. And she hasn't completed any tech courses whatsoever, due to lack of availability. And she mentions as well, like, the wait list that she expressed was so long that the chances of her being enrolled if the one and only computer-related technology class were similar to winning the California Mega Lotto. And once the position came available for her, she couldn't do it because of her job. So it became a catch-22.
Sounds like a huge hurdle and a huge barrier for folks inside. Yeah. How do you think learning technology skills can help secure and maintain employment after release? Like, what are folks saying about how important this is upon their release?
Offering the trainings and these skills will help the individuals to become employable, to reduce recidivism, and empowers them to rebuild their lives. One of my peers shared to me, like, you know, just the confidence that knowing how to use technology will allow me to dive into freedom fully capable of doing less and be socially productive and add to our community, not take away from it. And she will not be overwhelmed upon reentry with trainings. She'll be job ready. So it's huge, very important.
Are there any specific technology courses or certifications you'd like to see offered there? I know that some courses are already offered, but you guys are still not getting those courses. Can you explain more about that, please?
Well, some of the courses, after a thorough community job readiness research, the trainings that were requested that I kept hearing over and over, people kept mentioning certain names, but they don't even know what it consists of, but they know it's important, such as cybersecurity courses, data science, artificial intelligence. We know that artificial intelligence is taking over the world, so that will be really helpful to be a course and also like machine learning for web design certification programs, Google and analyst certifications, certain coding languages that are still a need, computer science programs, Salesforce administration, Google workspace, and et cetera.
And from my understanding, there's already courses there that's being offered, but you guys are lacking the staff, you guys are lacking the resources. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, the courses that actually they're not offered, but they were approved. They were approved from the educational department after speaking to headquarters in Sacramento. We had approved like for the facility courses such as cloud management, the HVAC system controlled and diagnostic, the 3D printing, the coding program was available, meaning that it was approved to be an institution. However, when it came time for execution, it went off the table because of budget. So it wasn't a priority. And it's been approved for years.
And when you say it's not a part of the budget, but it's been approved for years, can you just give me some type of example as to why does it fit into the budget? Like,
that is the actual verbiage that a lot of the administration have been used to where, like, and don't get me wrong, like, education departments especially, they want the programs. They want them here. They had allocated like specific spaces for the coding, for the machine shop, for the CAD software, for the 3D printing. Everything was in the works, and that was the excuse that was given to them from above, from headquarters, that the budget has been cut, therefore those programs cannot be implemented at this time. So it keeps being postponed indefinitely.
Thank you for sharing those great insights. What are folks inside saying about how they have addressed the lack of programs, the long wait lists, and the budget, you know, not to provide these programs for folks that are getting ready to come home? What have folks did to kind of address these issues?
Well, no, let's be part of the community here. I know we've tried to address these issues for years now. You know, the lowest level would be just submitting an email request to the different departments, requesting the programs, asking for what's, just disclosing what's needed, having conversations with the community resource manager, having conversation with the principal from education, having conversations with the warden and chief wardens and deputy wardens, greeting the process. It's just what we could do from here is really limited. What we could do from here is just ask and express the need. And the rest is really left out for the outside world to give us the grace and provide funding and advocate and provide, you know, those programs that we need desperately.
Can you share some quotes from your interviews and research about how frustrating or discouraging this has been for folks inside that want these programs but cannot get what they need?
So one of my peers, you know, like I said, that she was so frustrated with the waiting list as the one that we have, and just having like anything that has to do with like computer-led technology. She mentions that I'll go out there completely unprepared, and I wouldn't know what to do, how to do life. Therefore, my only option would be committing a crime to support myself and my family. And that was a statement that blew my mind, because how an individual must feel and how desperate and hopeless and not competent have to feel for them to resort to an extreme to where they're willing to reoffend because they know that they're not ready.
She must feel extremely behind. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Extremely behind. It's a completely different world. in here. Completely different world.
How can improved... I'm sorry, go for it.
Mm-hmm. No, everything, well, not everything. The majority of the tools that are utilized here for such as requests or grievances or putting work orders, whatever it that might be, everything is done manually. You know, our the pen and paper is our friend, what I'm trying to say. That is the way things are done in here, pen and paper.
How can improved tech training build confidence for reentry? And what has folks said about that outside of your last comment and quote? What else has other folks said about their confidence for reentry?
The confidence, like it's just building up confidence and receiving that tech training. One of my peers had mentioned that she will be job ready, and she knows that she will not feel overwhelmed after she re-enters, because if she knows it from here, she won't be overwhelmed to receive the training out there. Because what happens if you don't know it and you're just placed in a free world? It's the part of like being overwhelmed is going to take over, and you're going to go towards extreme. You know, at this aspect, like there'll be no catching up. No catching up will be necessary with technology, and I'll be just able to just dive into the workforce and be a productive member of society. That competence and training, it's going to play a huge role of someone staying crime free and stay productive.
Nora, thank you so much for sharing those wonderful insights and quotes from your peers. Looking back at our conversation in your interviews, what is the most critical takeaway regarding technology training at CCWF?
The most critical takeaway is that it's needed. It's needed. We desperately need it. My community is willing to learn. They need help to stop the cycle of crime, because that's what it really comes down to. If individuals are trained and ready to reenter and have the skills and competence to do life in a positive way, he could, you know, together just break the cycle of crime and reduce recidivism.
Thank you for sharing that. It's clear that updated and accessible tech programs, from basic digital literacy to more advanced skills, are vital to equip individuals for today's job market and boost their confidence for reentry. Today, we've uncovered that many incarcerated individuals face significant gaps in technology training, which hinders their ability to secure modern employment. The 8 key areas, from digital literacy to entrepreneurship, highlight both the challenges and potential pathways to improvement. Nora, is there any advice you'd like to share with our listeners about what's needed to drive these changes forward?
Oh my goodness, advocacy, advocacy, advocacy. Like, people out there need to know how uneducated and unskilled the majority of population is in here, and how inadequate most feel when they get out of prison. You know, upon the entry, they do not have the time to learn basic skills. They'll be too busy adjusting with life, which will push them like towards crime, and they will have no completions of training, no certifications in here, and that is detrimental for future employers to even pay them like any attention, which will affect the workforce and potentially the economy. We need tech training. We need funding. And one of my community members actually told me, if somebody have to ask the question why we don't have it, the answer is funding.
Thank you, Nora, for sharing these valuable insights and committing to this conversation and this research.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Empower From Within. A special thank you to our guests for sharing their invaluable insights, and our community researchers, and to our listeners for being part of this critical conversation. If you believe in the power of self-empowerment and the importance of job readiness for system-impacted individuals, visit uahers.org to learn more, share your feedback, get involved, or support this work. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time as we continue exploring the realities of reentry, workforce readiness, and the systematic changes needed to build a more just future.